Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Robin Proud. I'm the outgoing chair of the Religious Education Committee and a regular teacher for our youth. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age, or your abilities or inabilities. Later in the service, we will invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They're presented either by a Prairie member or a member of the wider community, or eventually by our minister, who we are now searching for. And we also have some traditional services that involve all of us as a community, and that's actually what we're doing today.
At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lightened the flame within us.
That's Albert Schweitzer.
And sometimes I say that our Prairie children are just like Wobegon, they're all above average. Rebecca Malky Alleghenty will present the main part of our program and explain about our transition service.
So good morning. And as you know, I'm Rebecca Malky, and I'm the Director of Religious Education for Youth and Children here at Prairie. As most of you know, this year's theme for religious education was social justice. And our children, and when I say our, I don't mean just the parents, I mean the congregation as a whole, have spent the year focusing on principles of treating everyone fairly, because it is important, in building a peaceful, fair, and free world, and that everyone, no matter how small, has a voice in this world. There are many people who have made this year possible, and I'll be recognizing them later in the service. And even though you may not have taught this year or volunteered a large amount of time, all of you should be thanked for being so welcoming and caring to our children and youth. I mentioned once how I had been at a conference for directors of religious education, and a number of the people there said that, actually I think everybody except for me, had said that they had a real problem with their congregation not being welcoming to their youth and their children. Some of the complaints they hear is that the intergenerational services are filler programs, or that they don't need to have the story for all ages upstairs. It's something that the children should just be in their classrooms right away. And I was just flabbergasted, and I said, I have to oftentimes turn people away from volunteering because I have so many people here who want to work with their youth. And several years ago, we had ended the Story for All Ages for a while, and I kind of thought that would be something I would mention and be kind of quiet with the congregation, and so many people were complaining, and it was a very nice complaint to hear, but people were saying, I want to see the children up here. You need to bring the children story back to Prairie. And so after a year we did, but it was because of all of you who had complained about it. So I want to thank you all for being so welcoming to all of our children and being so willing to volunteer your valuable time to be with them every Sunday. And some of you may not think that it's what you do is a big deal, but it is. Reading a children's story on Sunday morning is a huge deal for our children. And there have been cases where children have had a concern, and I've had people come up to me after the service to say that they wanted to get in contact with that child because they had gone through a similar thing when they were a child, and they wanted to be able to reach out and help them. And mystery friends, writing letters back and forth for a month and a half where you're getting to know the adults. I always have to turn people away, adults, for mystery friends, because I have so many of you who want to write letters and have been in contact with the children. And these are things that I hear don't happen in other congregations, but I want to thank you for that. Now, some of you have volunteered one or two times in a classroom, have helped chaperone an RE event, or like I said, took part in the Mystery Friends. And some of you have offered your assistance and your wisdom and guidance to our youth. Everything done, no matter how small or large, is appreciated. I wanted to talk a little bit about the importance of religious education. There's a book I received during another conference that I attended last year called The Essex Conversations, Visions for Lifespan Religious Education. Sounds very exciting, and it was. And in there is a quote about the importance of attending not only RE, but for families to attend church on Sunday morning. So I'm just going to read you that quote. The question is often asked by people, why should we go to church? We are so busy and our children are so busy. The answer to that is simple. Because you're so busy. We should go to church precisely because of soccer practice and violin lessons and hockey and gymnastics. Precisely because more of us are working longer hours, traveling more, and commuting farther. Precisely because our lives are structured, task-filled, and goal-focused. It goes on to say that these activities take us away from family and friends, and on Sunday morning, it's a time for you to be with your family and friends. Where else can you go where you know you are meeting people with the same values, where you won't be judged for your beliefs? This is especially important for our children who are growing in their faith and may encounter other children who have never heard of Unitarian Universalism, or in some cases, are judged because of their views of God or lack of belief in God. This is a safe place, a sanctuary, where we know we are welcome no matter our abilities or inabilities, our age, our sexual orientation, or family structure. There are not a lot of places in today's world that will welcome everyone, but Prairie is that place, and it's important for ourselves to feel renewed and energized spiritually and intellectually. There's another book where a rabbi asks parents, how many of you want your children to be professional soccer players? And then he asked, how many of you want your children to be Jews? I think the same could be said of us. How many of you want your children to be raised UU and continue to be UU? But how do we do that? It's by attending religious education. Studies have shown that those who have attended religious education on a regular basis were more likely to stay in the tradition than to fall away. Our students may take interest in other faiths, but the beauty of Unitarian Universalism is not that we can believe whatever we want to believe, but that we can explore other traditions like Buddhism or paganism or Christianity, and they can stay with us and combine that with our Unitarian Universalist beliefs. RE teaches our children that they're not just studying worldly religions because it's fun and interesting, which it is, but it's actually teaching them about our Unitarian Universalist roots. It's another way to look at the world, to explore their beliefs, and in many cases expand on what they believe by taking what they've learned from one or more traditions and adding it to their own. And this isn't something that our families should do alone. It's important for everyone in our congregations to support our families and our students in this journey. Now, I would like to thank those who have dedicated their valuable time and energy to helping our children continue to grow as Unitarian Universalists. So I have little gifts for them and cards. And since our theme was social justice this year, our teachers will be receiving a cloth bag from the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, Plant Justice, Harvest Peace. So I wanted to start with Paula Pacheres. She did the high school class, and she was the only teacher for that class. Randy Converse. I always enjoyed eavesdropping on Randy's classes. Oh, 4th through 6th grade.
And I thought it was 3rd through 6th.
Ah, 3rd through 6th grade.
And the 3rd grade. Salesmanship. this, the...
Oh, yes, Randy introduced selling of the goods from Vietnam.
El Salvador.
I had the money for this.
And our next teacher, she was a co-teacher for Randy, was Robin. Robin Crow. Now, Robin, I'm going to say, Robin was also for the past 3 years the chair of the Religious Education Committee. And I appreciate all of the help you've done. A starfish.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Toby Wacker has been here almost every single Sunday helping out with the the youngest class, the preschool class, the 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. She was daring enough to come back each Sunday, and it's been a huge, huge help. And so I wanted to give you a card. And Kate, if you could actually get Jed and Ulysses to come up here. Some of the other people who have taught that are not here today is Karen Deaton, Andy Garst, and Jason Yaruso, who moved recently, and Marsha Johnson. And also we have two people who have been working in the nursery. We have Jed Anderson, which is the son of Molly Plunkett and Peter Anderson, and Ulysses, and they have been here for almost a full year, and they've been very dedicated to our youth and our children. I know my sons personally just adore them, and they're very mindful of the students, always playing with them, always happy and welcoming, and I just wanted to thank them too, so they'll be coming up because they're hard at work. But they're also always willing to be here for a service Sunday, an RE event, and potluck Sundays, and it's been great having people who have been dedicated to our young people. So this is Jed. And Ulysses. Thank you. And next up is James Hughes. James will be making a big transition into high school next year, and I wanted to talk a little bit about James. James is a very unique student. I've always enjoyed having James here in the RE. Every year, James will tell me, "Oh, Rebecca, my birthday is coming up," and I'll say, "Oh, are you going to be 16 now?" And the first time he said, "Rebecca, I'm only 12. And I'm usually not, I'm really pretty good with ages. And the following year, he told me, "Oh, my birthday's coming up." And I said, "Oh, you're going to be 16 this year? You're going to be driving?" And he goes, "Rebecca, I'm 13. And I'm always thinking, why do I always think James is older than, you know, what he really is? And I can give you some examples as to why that is. When James first started coming here, I think you were 8 or 9, and we had a spirit circle downstairs. And it was right after the new year, and I wanted to ask the children, you know, to create a picture of what you want to see for the world this year. You know, and they have clean water and plants and world peace. And when we got to James, James started talking about Kenya and the plight of the people in Kenya. And I'm thinking, my God, he's 8 years old. And he was just, you know, he gave this nice talk about it, and I was blown. And another thing that James has done that, you know, we all have these times in our jobs where we feel like, are we making a difference? Am I doing something? Am I really, you know, reaching out to people? And last year, during our World Religions Year, I had asked somebody from Circle Sanctuary, which is the pagan center in Barneveld, to come and talk about Wicca. And as someone, I identify as being a UU pagan, so for me, all of this was very normal talk, but I started to try to look at it from someone who was hearing it for the first time, and I thought, oh, this probably sounds a little bizarre to our youth. So I had asked James afterward, what did you think of all of this? This was a lot of, you know, kind of intense information, and James gave the perfect example that of what I wish everybody in the world would say. He said, meh, It's just another way of believing. He didn't think it was weird. He didn't think it was strange. He didn't think they were going to hell. He didn't think that, you know, there was something wrong with these people. He just thought this is another way of believing. And I thought that's the response I wish everybody in this world had when they encountered another religious tradition. It's just another way of believing. So I'm very happy to introduce you to you, James Hughes.
Hi, everybody. Excuse my sniffles and stuff like that. I just got like a spur of the moment cold last night. So I only have a couple things to say because I ripped this up at like 11 o'clock last night because I was sick and tired and I forgot about it. So, I'm stepping into high school. Our RE class this year, it was quite small, and Cheyenne isn't here today, but me and her really pushed through the class, even though we didn't really have, if one of us was gone or whatever, we try to have a class get going. The class would kind of struggle and stuff, but I think this upcoming year would be better luck and stuff like that, and hopefully some of these kids would be moving into the high school class or the high school and middle school class, so then we can have more kids in that dedicated area. I kind of want to share my first time here because my parents always bring it up to me and stuff like that, and how why I like the church and stuff like that. The first day I came here, I basically said to my mom, I like it here, and that's basically because of all the teachers and all of you. I just said I liked it here, and that was basically the turning point of why we are here today, or else we would be going to First. So, and my sister also said the same. So basically that's it. I have tons of interests and stuff like that that I want to get into in high school. In school, but then also here in school, I'd like to get involved in a lot of AV type stuff, computer clubs and stuff like that. Thank you, Car Alarm. But then here I'd just like to get into more world religions. Basically, that was my basic favorite unit here because we bit a couple. Once a month maybe or something, we go to different churches or places of worship, and get to see leaders and stuff like that. And Rebecca, when the high school class was still here, when the high school class was full, it was really fun just going around and stuff like that. So I'd like to thank all of you guys for supporting me, and I hope to see you guys in the future. And then a big thanks to Rick Rucking, wherever he is, for kind of helping me through the way through this whole process. So thank you.
And James, I have a UU pin. Some people have necklaces, and I think one of our students, he wanted earrings, but James wanted a pin, so that's our symbol there. Thank you. And I have one more person to thank. I wanted to recognize Rose Smith. Every Sunday, I forget to get a reader, for the story for all ages. And every Sunday I come in and I said, oh, Rose, could you read the story? And she always says, of course, I would love to. And we have a number of people who have read stories. Al has read stories, and Peter, and Mary, Jane Richards has, and a number of us have done this. But Rose has done it almost every single Sunday. And I wanted to thank you, Rose. So I also have a card. So next year, our theme will be our Unitarian Universalist Principles and Heritage. And if you're looking for a rip-roaring good time, you can let me know about teaching. We're always in the need for teachers. Next year, though, I think Robin Proud has, again, you can explain a little more about what your class will be doing, but also I want you to talk about the length of time that you have spent, the years you have spent volunteering your time. It's really quite amazing.
I could say something about the summer and the fall.
Sure.
Let's see. Where do I not sure where that sheet is with all the ideas.
Oh, there's a couple things that I wanted to say here. First of all, I wanted to do something last week with the kids, but not that many were here, where we talked about what was good this year and what we could do better next year. Like a couple things that were good were having Randy as a teacher was fabulous. Having more kids was great. Oh, thank you. And things that could be better, well, now that we have more kids, maybe a bigger room. So, and then just ideas of things to do. And just in case anyone missed it, we actually put on 2 theatrical presentations, or maybe 3. Did we do a skit this year at Christmas? We did a skit about Christmas.
We did the Christmas skit.
And we did the Dr. Seuss program, but we also did one about the UUSC. Some of these kids weren't here yet, but in the fall we did that where it was about the 4 faces on the side of that Guess at Your Table box. So those are some of the things we did. So it seems a shame to have that energy dissipate over the summer. And we don't have a regular curriculum, but we have an opportunity to do a lot of fun things. So I just started brainstorming some that I've put on here, like kitchen science, some experiments with common items. Wood shop, somebody to bring in some wood scraps and tools and make stuff, right? A nature walk in a park or arboretum with maybe a theme or someone that knows something to point out. A field trip of your choosing. Prairie Olympics, you can make up your own sports and maybe make a newspaper or a website. Somebody here who has an expertise, like for instance, Marcia Johnson knew about trees, so I know one time with the younger kids, she actually brought in the slice of wood and showed them how to count the rings and talked about trees. Well, many of you have expertise or different types. And I also want to make a plug for some people who are not here. Some of you have husbands or grandparents in the family who are not necessarily interested in coming and sitting in our program, but they might appreciate what we're doing for the youth. And so someone who would like to do woodworking or take the kids out for something or share their expertise, we would love to have that to expand our community and just a chance to do that. Another thing I think would be great on a hot day would be to have a car wash. It could raise money for whatever we want to donate it to, and we just have to arrange the logistics to get the cars in the right places and so on, and kids can wear swimsuits and squirt each other with water and while they're washing the cars. And so this is a sheet that I made up here that everybody's welcome to look at, and we will have a sign up where 1 or 2 people, or preferably a couple people a week, could sign up for these or any other activities. And Catherine, who's one of our leaders, I think, in our group, had the idea that kids could start making up their own list, and we're very open to that. Then next fall, we are hoping that Rachel Long, who said she'd like to work with the youth, would work with the high school because she's been personally requested. There was a request for you. And also Dan Proud, who was requested, to work with our youth to do the coming of age year, which Bar Park created last time, really, is something to get them familiar with UU history and end with a trip to Boston for the young people that are in high school. So that's something you guys can look forward to in a few years. So that's what we're looking for. Now this group, I'm kind of torn. To this group, I have this concept that this group should stay together and not necessarily, you know, have any of them split up even as they get into kind of the middle school years, because everybody seems to get along really well. And we're going to be doing some things with the UU principals, but I'm sure we'll also be doing some drama and some creative dioramas or other productions. We like to do that. And so we'll be continuing with that. We do have openings for people to work with the younger kids who are from about 4 to 7 years old. Somebody has a question back there? Nope. Or he's one of the ones you'd get to work with in that class. Okay. And we're looking for people that would do this, say, once a month. And with that group, there's usually an element of education that will be related to the principals. For instance, there'll be a story or there'll be an activity, and then it's a very active group. So anything that we can do to keep them engaged and having fun. It's not a lot of sitting down and lecturing. You don't need to have a lot of background yourself to do that. Just energy. So those are some of the opportunities coming up here in the summer and the fall. And I'd like to thank everybody that has helped out at all the different times. And I'll turn back to Rebecca.
Well, actually, Robin, you're being very modest. I wanted you to let everybody know how long you've been teaching, because this is a great group of students, all of them from just birth on. I just love our students. And you have been teaching for a very long time.
Well, originally, my kids were both, you could say, born into the UU church. We should mention that. Dan and I were living in Minneapolis, where it was a lot like here. There's big First Unitarian Society. We went there once. No one noticed us. Then we went to a small place about this size. I was also 9 months pregnant. And Dan, they could hear Dan singing when the singing was happening, so everyone noticed us. And we joined, both our kids went through there, and so I taught pretty much every curriculum there was. And then when we came here, I didn't do anything for a couple years, but somewhere when I started teaching, some of these kids were in kindergarten and first grade, and I didn't plan this, but somehow I just sort of moved up with them. So now they're stuck with me until they graduate, I think. But it's very, but it's really delightful to see them. And I want to give a special thank you to the Richards family, who doubled the size of our class.
Now, that's another way you can give to REs, having children.
Oh, the Catholic method, is that it? The Mormon method, okay. Bringing your friends. Actually, one reason, I think, was that Karen Deaton kept mentioning to Jane and John, who had gone to First in the past or to other places, that we were here and got them to come over here. So, I think after we finish this part here, we will have time for a little bit of welcoming of some of our new families, of which this is one. So.
Yes, and before we move on, I just wanted to recognize Susan Herrhoim, and she will be taken over as the chair of the RE committee.
Closing words, you'll want to look in the responsive reading in the back of that same hymnal, number 652.
The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but stir up their own.
Not to make them see with our eyes, but to look inquiringly and steadily with their own.
Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth.
Not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward springs.
Not to bind them by
ineradicable
prejudices, but to our particular set or peculiar notions.
But to prepare them for impartial, conscientious judging of whatever subjects may be offered to their decision.
Not to burden their memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought.
Not to impose religion upon them in the form of arbitrary rules, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment.
In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul, to excite and cherish the spiritual life.
William Ellery Channing. Now, thank you for all for coming. Please extend a hand of friendship to those around you, and please stay and join us for our soup lunch and our meeting.